This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
To introduce our story this evening, I'd like you to meet a colleague of mine, Dr. Walter Simon.
It's always been a mystery to me why so many people postpone indefinitely a visit to their doctor when suffering pain and discomfort. Most pain needs medical attention, especially a pain which recurs regularly, causing the patient inconvenience and distress. When an early visit to the doctor will ensure that the condition is diagnosed, treated, and eventually cured, it is senseless to delay. The wisdom of seeking medical advice immediately one feels something may be wrong is illustrated very clearly by an experience which befell a colleague of mine.
Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step with the doctors who were there. Medical File.
In the bathroom, Alice.
Oh, dear, I'm coming. Are you all right?
I got up to mix a dose of this powder you got for me.
You're in pain, aren't you?
Aye, yeah, a little.
Oh, Fred Coleman, tell the truth. It's bad, I can see. Oh, I do wish you'd go to the doctor.
If it keeps on like this, I think I shall have to.
Look, let me ring up the works in the morning and tell them that you won't be in tomorrow.
Hmm?
I'll make an appointment for you to see Dr. Bright. Oh, please, Fred, let me do that.
Very well, lass. If you think it'll do any good, I'll go.
Fred Coleman presented himself at his doctor's surgery the following day.
Come in, Mr. Coleman. Come in and sit down.
Thank you, Doctor.
Now, let me see. Yes. Your wife rang up and said you've been having a great deal of stomach pain. Is that right?
That's right, Doctor. Yes, sir. I want you to put the rule over me and find out what the trouble is.
Well, how long have you been suffering with this pain?
About 2 months now. Nothing I do seems to make any difference.
What have you been doing about it?
Well, Alice thinks it's indigestion. She's very careful what I eat. Steamed fish, milk puddings, things like that. Oh, and I've been taking a white powder she got from the chemist.
I see. And you still have the pain?
Yes, sometimes worse than others.
Uh-huh. Just when is it worse, can you tell me?
Well, Friday nights I go to the local. I play darts with the boys, have a few beers. You know how it is. I have to pay for that, I can tell you.
I see. And at any other times?
Well, I know this sounds daft, Doctor. But if I'm pushed at work, if there's a rush on, or my shop is behind schedule, anything like that, I usually suffer. The pain just comes whether I eat or not.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll have a look at you, Mr. Coleman, and see what we can find. Just lie down on the couch, will you?
Blimey.
What is it?
I've just remembered there's an important meeting at the works this morning. My boss will blow his top when he finds out I'm not there.
Well, would you like my nurse to ring them for you?
No, thank you, Doctor. Alice has already told him I shan't be there this morning. She's explained that I was...
Where did you say Coleman was, Miss Parsons?
His wife phoned to report him sick, Mr. Hamilton. He's seeing his doctor this morning.
Oh, that's all I need. Surely he knows that his opinion on the new layout is vital for the meeting this morning. No sense of responsibility. That's one of the troubles with staff today, running off sick for some trivial little thing. They're all the same. All right, Miss Parsons, what's next?
I had a call from the agent at the docks. The consignment of machine parts from Rotterdam is held up, Mr. Hamilton.
Held up? Held up? What the blaze does he mean by that? Hand me that phone, I'll give him held up.
I don't think that will do any good. There's a wildcat strike started down there yesterday afternoon. Our goods are still in the ship's hold.
Do you understand what this means, Miss Parsons? No, of course not. You wouldn't, would you? It isn't your department, is it? But you tell me what I'm going to say to the directors of that company when they... Oh, here we go again. It's worse than ever. This
You're
is unbearable.
You're in pain, Mr. Hamilton. Where are your tablets?
In that drawer.
Here?
That's it. Two of them in a glass of water, please.
There you are. Two tablets in water. Now drink it up.
This usually does the trick. Oh, haven't I enough to worry about without this confounded pain?
Why didn't you see a doctor, Mr. Hamilton?
A doctor? Not likely. I haven't been to a doctor for 20 years. I haven't time for one thing.
I think you should have treatment for that pain before it's too late.
What? Too late? What do you mean, too late? It's only indigestion, Miss Parsons. I can deal with it.
Can you? Now, what have you eaten this morning to give you indigestion?
Well, nothing. Nothing at all. I didn't have any breakfast. Just a cup of black coffee.
And a cigarette. And approximately 16 cigarettes since then. I know you live alone, and I don't want to pry, Mr. Hamilton, but... Well, who cooks your food?
How should I know? There's an excellent restaurant in the building where I... My flat. I usually go there.
And for lunch you have nothing, unless I get you a sandwich.
I have a good meal in the evening.
And then you can't sleep, because of the stomach pains.
How do you know that? Now, what are you doing with that phone?
I'm making an appointment for you to see my doctor as soon as possible.
Well, that's ridiculous. You know very well I'm leaving this afternoon for the International Trade Fair. I can't cancel all the arrangements now.
The Trade Fair will still be on next week. I'll have all your bookings transferred.
How dare you, Miss Parsons? You're impossible. You're an interfering old busybody.
Now,
and I think...
Relax, Mr. Hamilton. I'm not concerned with what you think. What I'm doing is for your own good. Hello? Hello? Dr. Bright Surgery? Good morning, sister. This is Jenny Parsons. I want to make an appointment... No, not for myself.
Well, that's all. Now, come over here, Mr. Coleman. Sit down. Tell me, do you smoke?
No, Doctor, I never have.
Good, good.
Well, what's the verdict, then? I'm not seriously ill, am I?
Well, you have all the symptoms of a duodenal ulcer.
Oh,
but,
dear, I didn't know it was as bad as that.
I don't think it's very far advanced. From what I can see, we should be able to control it with medication and diet. But we shall have to have some tests made to establish exactly what we are up against.
Then I won't have to have an operation.
I'll be surprised if we find anything as bad as that. If you try to carry on, then perhaps it might have been a different story, but you've come to me in the early stages. That's very wise, Mr. Coleman, very wise indeed.
Well, it was Alice made me come. She's outside in the waiting room. Will you tell her about me? I know she's anxious.
Oh, by all means. Call her in and we can have a useful little chat.
All right, thank you. Alice, doctor wants to see you.
Oh, dear. Oh, good morning, doctor.
Come right in, Mrs. Coleman. Don't look so worried. I haven't got any bad news for you.
Oh, thank you, doctor. I was beginning to wonder. Fred's been in here such a long time.
Well, you just sit down. Now, I'm glad you're here. We can decide what's the most convenient time for him to go to hospital.
Hospital? Oh, dear, I thought you
only,
said...
Only for tests, Mrs. Coleman. Your husband is suffering from a duodenal ulcer. That's in the early stages, I'm happy to say, and we'll deal with it successfully, but he'll have to undergo some tests. They'll probably need him for one night in hospital.
What tests are these, Doctor?
Well, first of all, they'll give you a barium meal, and then we'll x-ray you and see the barium as it travels along your digestive tract.
Oh, I've heard of that.
This procedure is a great help in arriving at a precise diagnosis. Then they may decide on a gastroscopy if they think it necessary.
Oh, that sounds awful.
It's not really. No, we'll give him a general anaesthetic and put an instrument into his stomach which lights up and shows us the ulcer. And that way we know exactly what we're dealing with. Now, when do you think it'll be a convenient time for you to go into St. Mary's Hospital? There's no hurry for a week or so. Meantime, we'll put you off work.
Patients with ulcers crop up with unfortunate regularity in doctor's surgeries all over the world, but most frequently in countries where competition in commerce and industry is at a high level. Certainly, one of the causes of this condition is unsuitable food or irregular meals, but by far the chief reason for gastric or duodenal ulcers is stress, and the results of this are found more frequently in men than in women. The patient's temperament can be an important factor in the development of an ulcer. Constant anxiety and worry can so affect the condition of the stomach walls as to make it possible for the digestive juices to eat into the tissues, providing the perfect site for an ulcer. Treated in the early stages, ulcers may be controlled, even cured, but if left, the condition is much more difficult to eradicate and, neglected, can prove fatal. It was with some anxiety that Miss Parsons rang Dr. Bright's surgery late the following afternoon.
Yes. Yes, nurse, put Miss Parsons through. Good afternoon, Jenny.
Oh, Dr. Bright, I do apologize for worrying you, but I want some help.
Why, Jenny, what's the trouble?
It's my boss, Mr. Hamilton. I made an appointment for him to see you. You know about that?
Yes, but he didn't keep the appointment.
Oh, dear. I was afraid he wouldn't.
Well, what's happened?
He's missing, Dr. Bright. We can't get any reply on the phone, and no one has seen him, and he's a very sick man. I'm sure of that. What do you think I should do?
Well, perhaps he's gone on a business trip and forgotten to let you know.
Mr. Hamilton would never do that. He was due to fly Oh, I'm sure he's lying, suffering, with no one to help him. Perhaps I think I should go to his flat.
Well, would you like me to come with you and make inquiries on the spot?
Oh, thank you. He keeps a spare set of keys in the office. Shall I bring those?
Yes, do that, Jenny, and I'll call for you right away. Now, which way is 109? 107, 108. This must be it. I got the key there.
Yes.
There's no one here.
Look in the bedroom, Doctor.
There's no one here either. That'll be the bathroom. Let's see. Oh, there he is. You're right, Jenny. No, don't come in. Wait a minute. Well, he's still alive. Ring for the ambulance. Tell him it's an emergency. Hurry, Jenny, hurry.
Dr. Bright had half expected to find Peter Hamilton unwell and confined to his flat, but he was not prepared for the scene which now met his eyes. Hamilton was lying unconscious against the bath in a pool of blood. A quick examination proved that he was alive, but only just. On being transferred to the ambulance, the patient stirred and showed signs of returning consciousness. After arriving at the hospital and being admitted to casualty, he opened his eyes.
Where? What's going on?
It's all right, Mr. Hamilton. Everything's going to be all right. You just relax and we'll take care of you.
I feel dreadful.
Well, you'll soon be much more comfortable. Just relax. Let them look after you. Don't fight it. We'll come and see you tomorrow. There he goes. He's in good hands now, Jenny. We've done all we can.
Dr. Bright, but will he be here tomorrow?
Well, of course he will. Why not?
But all that blood.
Now you sit down here for a while, Jenny. Sister's going to bring us a cup of tea. Now, would you like me to explain about the hematemesis, the bleeding?
Oh, yes, please.
My diagnosis is that Hamilton's been suffering from a gastric ulcer for some time and doing nothing about it.
Yes.
Pressure, tension, unsuitable food, smoking and drinking. Even moderate drinking is bad for this condition. Now, all these things have done their work, and now the ulcer has, well, it started to bleed. That's where the blood has come from. It's probably still bleeding. We must hope that it hasn't perforated the stomach wall.
Dear, I did try to help him. I really did, but he's such a stubborn man.
He lives alone.
Yes, but I don't think he has many friends. I believe he belongs to a bridge club. What are they going to do for him, Doctor?
Well, first of all, I'll examine him carefully to diagnose the condition accurately. I'm afraid I haven't been able to help him at all because I've never seen him professionally. I couldn't make any examination this afternoon. He's conscious, but whether he can answer their questions is rather doubtful. They'll give him intravenous fluids, glucose. They may give him plasma, and after they've cross-matched, I expect they'll give him blood transfusion. Then they may have to operate.
Oh? What for?
Partial gastrectomy. That means the surgeon may take away the part of the stomach where the ulcer's sited.
Is he strong enough for an operation?
Well, he's in intensive care at the moment, and they have all the facilities there to gauge his reactions to anesthesia and so on. Here's our tea.
Oh.
Come on, drink this, Jenny. Thank you, nurse. You've had a shock, too, and we mustn't have you ill as well.
Fred, you're wanted on the phone.
Aye, come in.
Hello? Yes? I see. Yeah, I am sorry. I can't imagine the boss being ill. I'm going into hospital myself next week sometime to have some tests. I should be back to work immediately after. Anyway, thanks for letting me know. Bye.
What is it, Fred?
Well, that was a factory. Mr. Hamilton's been taken to hospital. Seriously ill, they said.
Oh,
he won't take kindly to being a patient, I can tell you.
It might have been you seriously ill if you hadn't gone to the doctor, Fred.
I know that, my girl. If it hadn't been for you, I might have been in the operating theatre now.
Swab, please.
Doctor?
Thank you, sister. You will notice, gentlemen, that I have incised the lower portion of the stomach where the ulcer was sighted. Nasty thing, very nasty. In my opinion, another few hours, we should have had a case of peritonitis on our hands. Yes, indeed. Now, why can't people come to us in reasonable time, eh? Now, why can't they do that? Give us a chance to save their lives. Swab. Now, this patient has a 50-50 chance. He's very weak. You'll need careful nursing. Oh, very careful. And afterwards, if he survives, you'll need discipline if he's to live a normal life. Definitely discipline. However, we've done our best in the circumstances, gentlemen. We must leave him to his own recuperative powers and common sense, if he has any. Now, I'm leaving him about half his stomach. Just about half, yes. I finished stitching it up. You can take over, Doctor.
Yes, Dr. Bright, you and the lady can see Mr. Hamilton, but only for a very few minutes now.
Oh, that's all right, sister. We understand.
Good. Ward 10, down the passage.
Thank you. Oh, come along, Jenny. He may not be able to speak to us, but he'll know we're here and interested in how he is. Now, that is important in a case like this.
I suppose so. He'll be very weak?
Possibly, but, you know, they can counter these things today with fluids given intravenously, drugs and tranquilizers. Patients recover after surgery much more quickly than they used to. But here we are. Let's go in. Oh, hello, Mr. Hamilton. I'm Dr. Bright, and here's Miss Parsons come to see you.
Good morning, Mr. Hamilton. I've brought you some flowers.
Why, thank you. Good morning to both of you. Dr. Bright, I was coming to see you. How long ago was it?
Oh, never mind. You were very ill, but thanks to Miss Parsons, we found you, and everything's under control.
Miss Parsons always does the right thing, Doctor. How about the office? How's it going?
Very smoothly, Mr. Hamilton. They've sent Mr. Baker from head office to do your work, with Mr. Wright to help him. And Mr. Williams is there as well. Three men to take your place. What do you think of that?
I think I was a fool to try and do it all myself.
Well, you worked and worried yourself into a serious illness, Mr. Hamilton. But you're on the road to recovery now. Are you comfortable?
I should be, if it weren't for all these tubes. But they'll be taking this one away soon. So they tell me. I hope so, anyway.
Oh, in good time. Well, we must be leaving now, sister's orders. But we'll come again.
You will? Tomorrow?
Aye.
I shall look forward to that.
Right, tomorrow. And I'll bring you something to read. I know the kind of books you like. Goodbye for now. Oh, dear. How ill he looks.
That's to be expected. You notice how much more relaxed he is.
Doctor, what's that tube in his nose?
It's called a nasogastric tube, Jenny. It's aspirated every hour or so to draw away any substance from around the wound which shouldn't be there. It's a tremendously helpful device.
Yes, but uncomfortable, though. When will he be able to do without it?
Well, directly the wound heals. Well, that may take a little while. Hamilton was in a bad state when we brought him in, you know. He probably owes his life to you, Jenny.
Please, Doctor, promise me one thing. Just don't ever tell him that, please.
I won't promise no such thing. Come on, cheer up now. It won't be long before he's on the mend and taking nourishment. And that's something you're going to do now this minute. You haven't eaten since this drama began, have you?
How did you know that?
Intuition. Now, come along now. I prescribe a light luncheon with perhaps a glass of burgundy and some amusing conversation. That's doctor's orders.
This way, Mr. Coleman. What a lovely morning, to be sure.
Aye, lovely for you, sister. What about the poor patient?
Ah, come, Mr. Coleman. You're only here for a barium meal and x-rays. That's nothing at all, really.
Well, I'll take your word for that. Are you busy?
We're always busy at St. Mary's. Here we are. Now, we put you in a semi-private ward, Mr. Coleman. Just one other gentleman recovering from an operation.
Oh, aye.
Right. Now, come on in. I want you to get ready for bed and wait for the doctor. He'll be in to see you in a few minutes.
Aye.
Morning, Mr. Hamilton. You're having company this morning. This is Mr. Coleman. He's in for x-rays.
You could have knocked me down with a feather when I walked in and saw you in that bed, Mr. Hamilton. Never so surprised in my life.
Certainly it's a coincidence. How do you feel this morning?
Ah, champion. Never better. I'm off home directly this senior doctor has checked my x-rays.
You seem to have got off pretty lightly, Fred. I had a much harder time of it. It'll be weeks before I get back home, if you can call it that.
I don't understand, Mr. Hamilton. Haven't you...
I never married, Fred. I was too busy. My parents died when I was a small boy, and the only living relative I have now is a brother I never see. He's halfway across the world. I've got nothing to go home to but an empty flat.
Oh, that's bad. Look, I tell you what. Why don't you come and stay with us for a week or two when you get out of here? It's not grand, but Alice is a wonderful cook, and she'd make you very welcome.
Do you know, Fred, that's the first time in many, many years anyone has offered to do anything for me. I don't know what to say.
Oh, now, Mr. Hamilton, I'm sure that's not true. What about Miss Parsons, your secretary? She always seems to be doing something for the boss, as she calls you.
Maybe you haven't noticed.
Maybe I haven't, Fred. Perhaps I never appreciated all she does do. I should have said thank you sometimes, but I never did.
Hello, both of you. How is everything this morning?
Oh, Jenny. Good morning to you.
Morning, Miss Parsons.
How did everything go for you yesterday, Mr. Coleman? Okay?
Oh, fine, thank you. I'll be off home just now when the doctor sees me.
Oh, that's marvelous. And here's some goodies for you, Mr. Hamilton. Grapes.
Oh.
You can have them if you don't eat the skins. And peaches. We'll peel them for you.
Oh, I'm being spoiled. Thank you for it, Jenny.
Well, what did you have for breakfast?
I've progressed to a poached egg on toast. Much better than Sid Mush, I can tell you.
Doctor was right behind me. He's coming in to see you.
Oh, Dr. Bright?
Yes. I do hope you'll let him look after you when you leave here, Mr. Hamilton. You know, it was...
Peter, please.
I beg your pardon?
Peter, it's my name, Jenny. I'm tired of hearing you say Mr. Hamilton. Let's drop that, shall we?
Yes, if you wish, of course.
I do wish, Jenny.
But not in business hours. As long as you're here, perhaps, but it would never do in the office.
Well, two patients sitting up taking notice. I see you're dressed to go home, Fred. Feeling all right?
I'm not ill, Doctor. I've only come in as a guinea pig.
Don't you believe it. You're still under my care. And you'd better do as I say, or you'll have those pains again, I can promise you.
Then Alice will stop my Friday nights.
Uh-oh. What's all this about Friday night?
Oh, only a game of darts with the boys and a few beers, Miss Parsons. Nothing more.
Well, you cut out the beer, Fred. I suppose the darts won't hurt you. I'll let Alice have your diet sheet, and you do as she says. How's that?
Back to square one. I always have done as Alice says, all the years we've been married.
So, you're due to go home today, Peter. How do you feel?
Marvellous. Never felt so fit in my life.
Well, it's the routine here in the hospital, Peter. No worry. Simple food, regular sleep. Now, please try and keep it that way.
Dr. Bright's had a talk with me. Here's my diet sheet. No spices, no curry, no skins or pips, no fried food. I'm going to miss the steak and chips.
Oh, well, grilled steak and creamy mashed potatoes can be just as good. Go on.
No alcohol. Mm. He's given me a list of what I can have. I shan't starve, but it's going to be difficult eating in a restaurant. I must learn to cook for myself.
Well, I'll teach you. I'm keen on cooking.
Jenny, why are you so kind to me? I'm afraid I haven't been very appreciative all these years.
Oh, please, Peter, there's no need.
Let me go on. I've taken your work for worse. I've taken you for granted, Jenny. And I want to apologize.
There's no need, Mr. Hamilton, really. No need for any apologies.
Ah, but there is, Miss Parsons. I called you an interfering, impossible busybody. Jenny. Dear Jenny, can you ever forgive me?
You hurry up and get well, and we'll see, Peter. We'll see.
Although Peter Hamilton had neglected his health to the point of endangering his life, he completely recovered from his ulcer and was eventually able to eat and drink most things in moderation. Also, he learnt to relax. In this, he was greatly helped by his wife, Jenny. Yes, a few months later, they were married, and she made his home gracious and happy, the first home Peter had known since he was a little boy. So the moral to this story is to take life easily. Do what you can about the difficulties that arise, and then stop worrying. Be moderate in all things. Relax and enjoy yourself. Well, no man could ask for more. And if illness should come your way, go and see a doctor without delay.
Medical File, the documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. Listen again next week for another true story from Medical File.